Even a slightly boiled egg is good.
Okay, so Shmuel, we could close the door if you like.
No problem.
The Gemara was analyzing the Mishnah about Nesinas Beitz of Tzad Mecham Beshvil Shetiz Galgel, as to whether or not you chayev a chatos for violating a malacha d'oraisa of Bishol when the egg reaches the state of Gilgal. And there were two ways that we interpreted the suffix in the Gemara based on a machlokas rishonim. Most Rishonim say that the Gemara is asking about Gilgul, whether or not that, even if it's less than Kemaychel Ben Josoy and other Machalos, would nevertheless constitute Bishul with regard to a Beitza, because people would eat the Beitza in that early stage of Bishul. But the Ritva had a different shot in this Gemara, that the Gemara was vacillating back and forth on the status of Toldos HaEish, because in this case he took the egg and he put it against the mecham on the outside, and that's called toldos ha'esh. Would that constitute bishul d'oraisa or not? And the maskana is, in the name of Rav Yosef, on the bottom of Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, that he's chayev chatos. Now we started the sugya on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. This is the sugya of Mar Brei D'Ravina, and Mar Brei D'Ravina is going to try to bring a raya from a brisa, actually from a Mishnah, I should be more meticulous about that, on a Mishnah, Daf Kuf Mem Hei Amid Beis, to prove Rav Yosef's maskon about Gilgal Chayev Chatas. What does it say in the Mishnah there? So let's just review what we know from yesterday. We'll read the Gemara once more, and then we'll see what we know and what we don't know. Kol Sheba Bechamin Milifnei HaShabbos Shorno So Bechamin Bishab. So we're talking about something that was salted. In the old days, as we said, they used to take meat and salt it, heavily salted, in order to preserve it, make sure it didn't spoil. And then, at some later stage, they would remove the salt to make it edible. Now, even though the salt preserves the meat, the way we interpreted it yesterday, David, you had a different shot there in your Gemara. Oh. We came to the conclusion that it doesn't actually soften the meat enough for it to be edible. So we have two issues here with regard to this meat. Number one, we need to remove the salt, and number two, we have to complete its bishul process. But be that as it may, the Mishnah says that if you already did a process on Erev Shabbos with regard to this meat of soaking it in a hot basin of water, a hot utensil of water. So there's hot water, and that's called ba bechamin. And if that already happened before Shabbos, then the assumption is that it's already mavushal. Now, when we say it's already mavushal, keep in mind that it says ba bechamin. The words ba bechamin here on the top of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph seem to indicate that it was soaked in a kli rishon. When I say a kli rishon, I mean the following. Kli rishon is a terminology that's used to identify a utensil that was once on the fire and now has been removed from the fire. The contents of this pot, of this utensil, have been cooked, but now the cooking process has been arrested because you took the pot off the fire. That's called a kli rishon she'siruhu me'al gabei ha'esh. And what he did was he took the meat and he soaked it in this kli rishon. That's the way the Prima Gadim learns this sugya. If that be the case, then the chiddush here of this Mishnah is that even though I subjected it to a heating process in a kli rishon that was not on the fire, nevertheless it's still considered mavushal, and if I can activate the principle here, apply the principle of ein bishul achar bishul, and repeat the same shriya a second time, this time on Shabbos, and put the meat into a hot pot, that was on the fire and is no longer on the fire. Again, everybody agrees that you're not allowed to put the pot of meat on the fire itself. That already comes under the whole sugya of chazor that we discussed at great length. There's no heter of chazor except in very, very special controlled conditions. Here, he's not putting the meat back onto the fire. He's putting it into a kli rishon that was removed from the fire. And that's exactly where he had soaked the meat on Erev Shabbos. So basically, ein bishlach habishlach, it means that by repeating the same process on Shabbos that he had implemented on Erev Shabbos, he's not changing, he's not enhancing the bishul process with regard to this piece of meat. The reason why you're chayav for bishul is because in some sense the cooking process enhances the food, but here you're not adding anything to the original bishul. Why? Because it was already soaked in a kli rishon, hot water in a kli rishon, and therefore on Shabbos itself you're allowed to soak it in a kli rishon once again. That's called ba b'chamin, is sharno so b'chamin b'shabbos. Now, let's just point out the obvious. If you're allowed to take this meat that was soaking in hot water on Erev Shabbos and soak it again on Shabbos itself, then how much more so would you be allowed to take this meat and rinse it off? Meaning pour from the kli, the hot water, onto the meat. Because that already pushes it down one level. That's called Irui Kli Rishon. So we have Kli Rishon, which means that this kli was once on the fire, it's been removed from the fire, all the food that's the contents of this pot was cooked on the fire. Now, you take it off the fire, that's called a kli rishon. If you take the contents of that kli, let's say you have hot boiling water in that kli, and you pour it onto something else, that's called the irui kli rishon. Again, if we ever get the whiteboard back up, we'll be able to write it down. So that's called Iri Kli Rishon. That's called, in the Lashon HaMishnah, Hadacha. So we have a lot of new terminologies here that we have to get familiar with. One is called Shriya. One is called Hadacha. One is called Kli Rishon. And the other is called Iri Kli Rishon. If we get all that terminology down, then things will move very smoothly. If we don't have the terminology, it's going to become a little bit, you know, like put up your dukes kind of thing. Like, Rabbi Berzon, you're losing me here because I don't know what the words mean. Okay, having said that, so we have the case of Shriya. Shriya means that it was ba b'chamin. It was already soaked on Erev Shabbos in hot water. Kli Rishon Shehusar Me'al Gabi Ha'esh. Now you're allowed to repeat that same performance on Shabbos. Again, the meat in the meantime is cold. It's absolutely cold. And now you're heating it up in boiling hot water. Why? Because you're putting it into a kli rishon shehusar me'al gabi ha'esh. The Mishnah doesn't stipulate that you have to wait till the water cools down, or that it should be less than yatzol lettuce bow. The Mishnah doesn't stipulate that your food is hot. No, none of that. So, you know, David, when you were worried about the... Again, I'm not saying it's going to work for your schnitzel here, because I don't know if you want to soak schnitzel in hot water. Yeah, that would be too good. But let's say, for example, you could boil an egg in a kli rishon. I've done it. In fact, the best way of getting soft-boiled eggs is probably to turn the fire off, because if you leave the fire on, it's very hard to calculate exactly when it's still soft. If you really like a soft egg, you know, some people like to toast a piece of bread, break up the toast, and put it into a soft-boiled egg.
Rob, how long do you keep it in this boiling water that's been taken off the stove?
As long as you want.
Really?
As long as you want. Leave it until Mashiach comes. It doesn't matter. It's always going to be boiled. Soft boiled.
What's the minimum time?
The minimum time, if the water was just boiling, I would say leave it in for about 3 to 5 minutes would be enough to keep it soft boiled. But again, the point is that in the meantime, you could be distracted with 50 million things. You have no fear. It's going to be soft boiled. Why?
Yes,
take your time. Because it's removed from the fire. That's called a kli rishon shusaka. Take that egg, put it in your fridge on Erev Shabbos, and Shabbos morning, you want to eat a hot, soft-boiled egg. take a pot that's been on the fire. Let's say it's been on the blech. Okay, well, we'll avoid the isurim of shahia, and it's got boiling hot water in it. Take it off the fire and put your egg into the.
From the kumkum, you just put like water from the kumkum into some sort of container.
Well, one second.
That's even a klisheni, probably.
Yeah, no, that's a iri kli rishon. Now, iri kli rishon is going to be
the kli that comes from the.
In other words, you had a kettle on the fire. Now you take it off the fire and pour it onto something that's called iri kli rishon. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because the kettle was on the fire, that makes the kettle into a kli rishon.
Right.
And pouring from the kettle is called iri kli rishon, which is going to be a machlokas between the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam. We'll mention it in just a minute.
The new kli is considered iri.
The new kli that received it. I thought you were pouring it directly on the egg.
No.
Oh, I misunderstood you. Okay, so let's go slowly. Let's say you have an egg in an empty utensil and you pour from this kettle onto the egg. That's called iri kli rishon. Now, if you have an empty utensil and you take from the kettle and pour it into that empty utensil, that's called kli sheni.
Right.
Kli sheni, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, who's very nervous about iri kli rishon, that's a kli sheni, it's not mavash. So that's for sure okay. So again, you have various options here as to how to reheat on Shabbos your soft boiled egg. Because
you ever had this? Sounds like a
I'm sure sometime or other I did. I don't remember. You know, ask me what happened yesterday, and I forgot already. But I'm sure sometime in the past six decades, you know, I'm sure that I once did it. But I don't know. All right. So we're again, Rabosai. Are we on the same page? Let's just review what we know. This food was already heated up in a kli rishon. That means a kli rishon that was off the fire on Erev Shabbos. Now I can reheat it by again subjecting it to the identical process of soaking it in a kli rishon. And how much more so if I took a kli rishon and poured it on this food, that for sure would be mutter. That's already called hadocha. Hadocha means when you pour it on. We're talking about Shriya, and the Mishnah says, I'll be right with you, Dr. Joel, kol sheba b'chamin milifnei Shabbos, shor no so b'chamin b'Shabbos.
What is that?
On the top of Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. You can't miss it, Tahav. If you just have Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, you can't miss it. So what's Shorin Oso? You're allowed to have it soak in hot water. The water could be boiling hot. It doesn't matter what the temperature is. Why? Because it's already been subjected to the exact same process of Kli Rishon on Erev Shabbos. Whatever bishul you could accomplish in a Kli Rishon, you've already accomplished. The food is already cooked. Now you can put it back into a Kli Rishon on Shabbos. However, kol shelo ba b'chamim milfnei Shabbos. Now you're talking about raw meat. And you want to heat up raw meat on Shabbos. You can't cook on Shabbos. Therefore, the Mishnah says, Madichin oso b'chamin b'Shabbos. Now we're up to Hadocha. Now we've shifted from a Kli Rishon to something else. We'll see what that something else is. That's going to be a machlokus between the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam. If I were to take a Kli Rishon that's boiling hot and take it off the fire and put my raw meat into it on Shabbos, no way, no how. But if instead of doing a process which we call Shriya, we take the Kli Rishon. Okay, now here we have what I'm about to present to you is the Rashbam's opinion. Please make note of it, because Rabbeinu Tam is going to object to this, you know, with great, you know, with ballistically, right? So, according to Rashbam, I can take this Kli Rishon and pour the contents, the hot boiling water, onto a piece of raw meat on Shabbos. That's pretty amazing. What is this based on? Is this physics? Is this based on chemistry, on biology? What is it? I mean, I'm taking boiling hot water, pouring it onto raw meat, and I'm allowed to do it on Shabbos. This is what we call the halachic legal universe. And in that universe, there's something called, says Rashbam, iri kli rishon. Iri kli rishon means pouring from a kli rishon. This utensil was once on the fire. It's off the fire. It's a kli rishon. When I pour it onto something, that is called a kli sheni. In other words, there's kli rishon and there's kli sheni. Kli rishon means I took it off the fire. Kli sheni means I poured the contents into a second kli that was not on the fire. That's called a cliche. Now we have something in the middle. It's neither here nor there. It's in the gray area. I call it the twilight zone. That's called the Iri Kli Rishon. On the one hand, the water didn't reach in, has not yet entered into the Kli Sheni. On the other hand, I'm not taking my food and putting it directly into the Kli Rishon. I'm pouring the water out from the Kli Rishon onto the food. The Rashbam says that has the same status as the Kli Sheni.
The food is not, the raw meat is not in a Kli. It's just sitting flat on something.
Yeah, well, it could be an empty Kli. I mean, to say, well, you don't want to leave it on the counter, because if you leave it on the counter, and you pour water on it, the water's going to splash all over the place.
No, so if it's empty and I poured it to the second Kli, the second Kli becomes a Kli.
Cliche.
But if I already have the raw meat in the second Kli.
And there's nothing in the Kli, it's an empty Kli, and I pour from the Kli directly onto the meat.
My raw meat is sitting in the Kli.
Right, but it's an empty Kli.
Empty Kli except for the raw meat.
Correct. So now I pour onto that.
And then it's not a Kli Rishon, it's this Iri Kli.
Iri Kli Rishon.
Wow. Okay.
Iri Kli Rishon. Why? Because I took the Kli Rishon, which is full of hot boiling water, and I poured it directly onto the meat. The Rashbam says that's the same as soaking it in a Kli Sheni. And therefore, according to the Rashbam's pshat, when the Mishnah allows you to do Hadacha, right, Hadacha, not Shriya, but Hadacha, what it means to say is anything past Shriya, anything below, on the totem pole, anything below Shriya. What's below Shriya? I didn't put it into a Kli Rishon. It's not soaking in a Kli Rishon. Then it's already considered Hadacha. What does Hadacha mean? Then in a sense, I'm rinsing out the meat, if you use that term, by taking the water from the Kli Rishon and pouring it onto what? Onto my meat. That says the Rashbam I'm allowed to do, because that's called Iri Kli Rishon. It has the same status of Kli Sheni. How much more so if instead of pouring from the Kli Rishon directly onto the meat, I took the Kli Rishon, poured its contents into a second Kli, and then I soaked my meat in the second Kli? That's Kli Sheni. That's already what we call in Yiddish upkaret. That's nothing to talk about. The chiddush here of the Mishnah, according to Rashbam, is that I don't even have to create a Kli Sheni. I can stick with my Kli Rishon. And I can still basically virtually cook my meat on Shabbos by pouring from the Kli Rishon onto the meat, because Iri Kli Rishon is considered Kli Sheni. And where do I know this from? Ben, I'll be right with you. I know this from Tosus. Tosus Dira Maskil Kol. And he says in the fifth line, Madichanos, so what it says in the Mishnah, Madichanos, so lepirush. Now here we have Rashba, but if you take a look in the Mesoros Hashas and other places, it says Rashbam. You know, it's the last letter should be a mem. All right, it doesn't matter. But he says the Mefarish, what is his interpretation? And here you have to underline these words in Tosis, the Iri Kikli Sheni. Do you see those three words? The Iri Kikli Sheni. Those are your three key words. We're adding another few words to Tosus to embellish it, to clarify it. The Iri Kli Rishon Ki Kli Sheni. That's what Tosus means. Is Asi Shaper Hacha. Now everything works very well over here. The Ein Shorin Oso B'Kli Rishon. You're not allowed to soak your meat in a Kli Rishon. Kli Rishon, even though it's not on the fire, has the power of Bishul. Avol, but Madichano, so you're allowed to rinse off your meat, Mi Kli Rishon, by pouring from the Kli Rishon, Derech Irui, because Irui Kli Rishon is Ki Kli Sheni Domi. Adkan, here's the Rashbam sheet. Yes, ma'am.
I was just wondering why we don't go back to that Rashi being in the Perek Kamavasho, because it looks like you're cooking. I mean, I understand that.
On a Darabana level, maybe it should be Asumi Darabana, because it looks like you're cooking. Is that what you're saying?
I'm thinking.
All right, we're going to see that there is some element in what you say in Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is going to say that there are certain situations which look like cooking. That's going to be Rabbeinu Tam. But I just want to see if we're up to Rabbeinu Tam, because again, I want to go through this sugya in a certain order. Okay, fine. I was in fine. That we said, so we covered that and that. Now, what do we want to cover? Okay, so we did the first half of that, the first half of Tosis. That's the opinion of the Rashbam. Iri Kli Rishon is considered like a Kli Sheni, and it does not have the power of Bishul. Okay. So in other words, when it says here, Madichin also bechamin, what does the Mishnah mean in the second case where it was not put into hot water in Erev Shabbos? So you have raw meat coming out of the freezer, coming out of the fridge, wherever it is, and it's Madichin also bechamin, which means that you're allowed to pour from a kli rishon directly onto the meat, and that's called lahadicho, but you're not allowed, of course, put the meat into a kli rishon, that's called shriya. Shriya b'kli rishon means that the kli rishon, even though it was removed from the fire, is still mevashel, but iri kli rishon already has the status of kli sheni, and it's not mevashel. That's the Rashba. What are we up to now? Rabbeinu Tam. Says Tosfos, Avol Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam holds, again, all this is in that Mishnah over there, in Kuf Mem He, Irui Havi Kikli Rishon. There's no difference between soaking something in a Kli Rishon or pouring from the Kli Rishon onto that foodstuff. Both are considered Kli Rishon. In other words, whereas Rashbam says that the Irui process lowers your level on this pyramid from Kli Rishon down to Kli Sheni, Rabbeinu Tam says that pouring is not considered lowering it down. It has the same status as the water in the Kli. So the water that's being poured out of the Kli has the same exact status as the water in the Kli, and that's called Kli Rishon. Now we have to go back to our Mishnah here that we're studying and figure it out. How does Rabbeinu Tam interpret the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Madichin also bechamin, which we said meant that you're allowed to pour from the Kli Rishon onto the food. According to Rabbeinu Tam, that's obviously awesome because that's Bishol Doraisa. Therefore, Al Karchach, you see that Ayin Chaf, Al Karchach, willy nilly, we have no choice in the matter. Madichin also, what does it mean? Madichin also, it means mi Kli Sheni. Now watch what happens over here. You have a pot that's a pot of water on the fire. You take it off the fire, that's called Kli Rishon. You pour it into a Kli Sheni. The pouring process itself is still a Kli Rishon. Now the water lands in the second Kli. Now it has the status of a Kli Sheni. Take that Kli Sheni and pour it onto your meat. So it's really interesting because, let's say for example, you make a glass of tea, right? And let's say you pour hot water from the percolator into the cup, into the glass. That glass now becomes a Kli Sheni, which would mean the following. As long as the water is coming directly out of the percolator, that's called Iri Kli Rishon. According to Rabbeinu Tam, that's Bishol Doraisa. Once it enters into the second Kli, that's Kli Sheni. Take the water in the glass that you filled up with boiling hot water from the Mechav and pour it onto your food. I don't care what your food is. Probably you'd want to do it with an egg, you know. And it's already Kli Sheni. Kli Sheni is not Mevashel. Now the question is, would you be allowed to soak raw meat or raw egg in that Kli Sheni? In other words, we're talking about Hadacha. Correct? It says Madichin also bechamin. Madichin also means Irui. So it means, according to Rabbeinu Tam, Kli Sheni. It can't be a Kli Rishon because Irui Kli Rishon is Mevashel. So it's got to be Irui Kli Sheni. But what about the Kli Sheni itself? Why does the Mishnah have to tell me, if we're talking about a Kli Sheni, that you're allowed to take the contents of the Kli Sheni and pour it onto the meat? Why not take the meat and soak it in the Kli Sheni? Why do you lower it one notch, one madrega, to get it down to the level of Iri Kli Sheni? Why not Kli Sheni Mamish? And here's where Ben Svara comes in. So Rabbeinu Tam says the following. My Iria, if you'll ask me, why do you have to say Madichin Afilu Shorin Nami? Why can't I do Shriya and allow my meat to soak in the Kli Sheni? Why do you tell me I'm allowed to pour it from the Kli Sheni? Put it into the Kli Sheni. The Omer Ri. And the Ri is now coming to explain Rabbeinu Tam. The Afilu B'Kli Sheni Ein Shorin. So now we're saying the following. We're talking about raw food. You're not allowed to soak it in a Kli Rishon. That would be Bishol Doraisa. You're not allowed to pour it from a Kli Rishon onto the food because that would be, according to Rabbeinu Tam, Bishol Doraisa, because every Kli Rishon is Kli Rishon Dor. But let me chach pour from the Kli Rishon into a Kli Sheni and soak it in a Kli Sheni. No, we're not going to allow you to do that. We're only going to allow you to take from the klisheni and pour it onto the food. But we're not allowed. We're not going to allow you to soak it in the klisheni. Why not? The hoil. And here's Ben's svara. Ben, did you write this tosis?
I promise I didn't big. I was just
no. What I meant to say is maybe you took a time. What is it? A time machine? What do they call it? Back a thousand years ago, and you wrote the tosis. This is one of the Bali tosis. His nickname is Re. You know, his original name is Re. His nickname is Ben. The Omer Re Da Filu Biklisheni Ein Shorin. Please underline the next few words. The Hoel Da Hamayim Chamin. Since the water is boiling hot. Okay, now I don't know exactly how hot it is because it's a klisheni. Maybe he means that the klisheni itself was an empty kli that got heated up. I don't know if you can imagine such a case where you took an empty utensil and put it on the blech until it was hot. Is mechzik imamash. It looks like bishul. Yeah, it's a little bit odd because does the spectator realize that this is a klisheni? Are we fooling him? In other words, is he baffled by this and he thinks it's a kli rishon and therefore we have to aser it? Well, then it becomes really confusing because then when you pour from the kli sheni, maybe the spectator is going to mistakenly think that you're pouring from a kli rishon, which according to Rabbeinu Tam is bishul d'oraisa. So I don't know exactly how this works. We're going to have to rack our brains, but somehow the mechanics is that as long as it's in a kli sheni, we have to give the kli sheni the same status as a kli rishon, mirabon, and that's called mechzik imavash. But once I pour it out of the kli sheni, then we don't apply the principle of mechzik imavash, it's mutal lechatchila, and that's the case here of madichno sobacham. So once again, just to test you, when it says in the Mishnah madichno sobacham, are we talking about hadocha from a kli rishon or hadocha from a kli sheni? Is he pouring from a kli rishon or a kli sheni? What's the answer, David?
It's a machlokes.
According to the Rashbam, he's pouring from a kli rishon. According to Rabbeinu Tam, he's pouring from a kli sheni. According to the Rashbam, kli rishon, iri kli rishon is kli sheni dummy, and therefore he can pour directly from his kli rishon onto the food, because that's already a kli sheni. Rabbeinu Tam is only going to allow you to pour it out of a kli sheni. So now, there's going to be a double machlokas here between Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam. Two nafkaminas. The first nafkamina is iri kli rishon, and the Rashbam is going to allow it, and Rabbeinu Tam is going to prohibit it. Now we have a second machlokas. What about soaking it in a kli sheni? Rashbam will certainly allow it. He even allows you to pour from a kli rishon, how much more so to soak it in a kli sheni? And the Rabbeinu Tam is going to prohibit it because of mechzik imavash. And Rabbeinu Tam now is being machmir not only on iri kli rishon, that's already doraisa, but he's even machmir on shriya in a kli sheni because of mechzik imavash. That's the rabbon.
Irui kli sheni.
Iri kli sheni is exactly what the Mishnah permits.
Like, so you can have your tea, you can from your kli rishon, you can put it into your water into a teapot, then you can pour that water directly onto a tea bag.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we're not up to tea bags yet. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because you remember that case that we discussed yesterday about the herring and the tuna. So we have to figure out exactly where tea bags fit in. Okay. but let's just talk about a piece of meat. A piece of meat, take the klisheni and pour it directly onto the meat. No one disagrees. Everyone says that's explicitly
klisheni.
You're going to want to put it in a kli sheni because otherwise the water is going to fly all over the place. But theoretically, right. You can have it on
so
your counter.
Where
your
egg is sitting now. Your egg is now sitting in a kli sheni.
Good. So pour it from a kli sheni, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, onto the egg.
Okay.
The egg will be partially cooked, and it should be okay. Again, until we get to herring, okay? This is the pre-herring hakofa al. Then we'll get to the post-herring hakofa al.
To cook the meat, it has to be one third cooked before you call it cooking. What's the habamina? I'm going to pour hot water in my mouth.
That's what I'm telling you, Dr. Joel. We're not talking physics here. You and I enter into the classroom and we're thinking of physics. And in physics, there are many different ways that you could cook something.
It's one third cooked. That's the halacha. Less than
no, you're not following. What we're talking about is not whether it's cooked or not. You're looking at the egg. You're looking at the final product. That's a physics. In physics, the final product is that it was zero cooked and now it's halfway cooked or fully cooked. I don't care what. But that's not the issue. The issue is, did I subject the food to Bishul? There are ways in which I can cook something, but not through Bishul. The halachic standards or definitions of Bishul require that it be A, Kli Rishon, B, according to Rabbeinu Tam, even an Iri Kli Rishon. But according to everyone, not in a klisheni. You can have the hottest water in the world in a klisheni. It's 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and yet it's not bishul. Take something raw, absolutely raw, put it in this cauldron of hot boiling water. I can assure you it'll be perfectly cooked. And you're allowed to do it. Why? Because we're not looking at the physics. We're not looking at the end product. We're not talking about Bishul from the perspective of what do I see and what happened. We're talking about the methodology, the Maisa Malacha. The Maisa Malacha Bishul requires a Kli Rishon. In fact, even a Kli Rishon is a Chiddush. I would have said that the Maisa Bishul requires that it be a Kli Rishon al Gabi Ha'esh. No. Now we're saying no, even a Kli Rishon that's off the fire is also considered Bishul. But once you pour it from the Kli Rishon, that's already a Kli Sheni according to the Rosh Baruch. And that's not a Maisa Bishul. Rabbeinu Tam requires that we go one step further and we get to the Kli Sheni itself. That's not considered Bishul. B'derabbanan, they're going to say it's Metzi Kimavasho. Therefore, Rabbeinu Tam is going to require that you pour it from the Kli Sheni. That's called the Iri Kli Sheni.
Presumably, this is why on Shabbat, many people say to make tea, you have to pour it into a Kli Sheni.
Well, that's coming up in one more line. That's going to be the herring case.
Where are we in the Mishnah? I'm not following.
Say it again?
Where are we actually in the Mishnah?
Finished the Mishnah.
I know you're reading Rashi and so forth, but where is this? You keep referring to the Mishnah.
Yeah.
Which Mishnah
okay.
are you referring to?
So you see the last word on Daf Lamed Beis.
Oh,
no, the last word in the Gemara itself. The last printed word on Lamed Chesam and Beis is what?
Tnina.
Do you see the word Tnina? Lamed Chesam and Beis?
Yeah.
That word Tnina means the following. We learned in a Mishnah. It's not our Mishnah in the third Perek. It's a Mishnah in a Perek called Chavis, which is a later Perek towards the end of Masechta Shabbos on Daf Kuf Mem He Amid Beis. So if you want to turn to Kuf Mem He Amid Beis, there you'll find the Mishnah. Okay then. Do you have, by the way,
the next
Dan? Right. That's okay. So you'll trust me on that. But if you have something called the Mesoris Hashas on the top right, I don't know in the art school if they have that or not. I'm on Lamed Tes Amid Aleph right now.
I think you have it.
Do you have the Mesoris Hashas?
No.
You do.
I do.
Yeah.
You do.
Then it's up here. We're up here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lamed Tes, but you're not on Lamed Tes Amid Aleph, are you?
Lamed Tes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, you have the source of shas on every page.
Inside margin. Inside
but I just want to teach you, this is a very important margin. Skill, just a technical skill that you have
inside
to
inside margin. Okay.
Inside margin.
Okay. Mesoris Hashas, you have it?
The very first line of the inside margin.
Just up here?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
It doesn't say Mesoris Hashas on it?
Can I go back 20 years with my eyes?
Well, Dr. Joel will take care of your eyes. I don't know how much he's going to charge you. Maybe since your colleagues in the shield, give you a break, you know, on the Friday side.
No, I'm looking at small. I'm looking.
You know, last time I paid an eye doctor, I went to Hock for like months. You know, they gave me this laser surgery or whatever, which, by the way, has ceased working for my eyes. But anyway, so you have
it. I got it, yeah.
So it's you see the Aleph, it should say Aleph.
That's where the eyes come in.
No, it does say Aleph. Yeah. Aleph. So anyway, I'll read it to you. We'll bring a magnifying glass. So he says to find Lakamon Kuf Mem Hayamid Bay. So that's an important skill that you should know because that tells you where to find it.
Okay.
And that Mishnah that we're studying now, and I keep referring it to a Mishnah because it is a Mishnah, it's not here in this parak, it's on Kuf Mem Hei Amid Beis. Okay then? Mm-hmm. So you should just know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Shmuel.
Okay, I'm getting confused about the food facts here. This meat that was cured in salt for a long time, when it's edible before Shabbat? I feel like saying...
I'm going to say no. Okay. For two reasons. One is because it's very, very salty.
Okay.
And they used an enormous volume of salt to preserve it. And number two, it's still hard. Cooking is meant to soften the meat. If you don't cook meat, it's really hard. And that's called in Hebrew, lirachech. Lirachech means to soften. So I have to now subject the meat to two different elements here in order to make it edible. Number one, I have to remove the salt. And number two, I have to heat up the meat in such a way that it becomes soft. Now it becomes edible. Once I achieve those two goals, then I've implemented Bishul. And we can even accomplish those goals in a Kli Rishon. When I mean in a Kli Rishon, I'm talking about soaking it, Shriya, in a Kli Rishon. Rabbeinu Tam goes even a step further. I don't even have to soak it in a Kli Rishon. I can pour the hot water from the Kli Rishon onto the meat. That boiling hot water from a Kli Rishon, as it hits the meat, will accomplish two goals. Number one, it'll remove the salt. And number two, it'll soften the meat. And that's called Bishul. The machlokus between the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam is, whereas the Rashbam says that once you pour it out of the Kli Rishon, that water now has the status of a Kli Sheni. Imagine it's suspended in air, right? The water's coming down. That's called a Kli Sheni, according to the Rashbam. And it cannot achieve Bishul. No matter how much of the physics is going to testify that it's cooked. Don't matter. It's halachically not Bishul. Rabbeinu Tam holds that water is coming from a Kli Rishon and therefore it still has the status of a Kli Rishon. When does it hit the ground and become a Kli Sheni? Only when it hits the ground of the Kli Sheni. Now, Rabbeinu Tam would say, L'chora, that I can soak it in a Kli Sheni. Because Kli Sheni certainly doesn't achieve Bishul according to the halachic definition of Bishul. No, Rabbeinu Tam says, as Ben said before, Mechzikim Avashel, it looks like Bishul. Therefore, Rabbeinu Tam is going to require that you pour it from the Kli Sheni onto the meat, and that's Mutar L'chatchila. The Rashbam would allow pouring it directly from the Kli Rishon onto the meat, and that's considered a Kli Sheni. And how much more so to soak it in a Kli Sheni? Comes along Rabbeinu Tam, he says, not only is it prohibited to pour it from the Kli Rishon, which would be Bishul D'Oraisa, I'm not even allowed to soak it in a Kli Sheni, because that's called Mechzikim Avashel. So whatever the Rashbam says about Kli Rishon, namely that you're allowed to take the Kli Rishon and pour it onto the Rabbeinu Tam says it about the Kli Sheni, you're allowed to take the Kli Sheni and pour it on. So the pouring process here, which is called Hadacha, is either from a Kli Rishon according to the Rashbam, or from a Kli Sheni according to Rabbeinu Tam. So far, so good. And now we get to the exception to the rule. What's the exception to the rule? Chutz min hamoliach yoshan. Or ha-yoshan, it should say, maybe. Yoshan. Okay, now that means it's been salted for a long time. Really long time. Maybe a year even. And
it's like
kulius ha-ispin. Yeah.
It's like pickling.
It's like pickling. And it's so salted that it's ready... You know, it's ready in the even in a Kli Sheni, you know, the slightest amount of hot water will finish the process, because it's so advanced in the process that it doesn't really need much. And when we say not much, we're going to talk about a Kli Sheni. Vekulius ha'ispinin, which he says is a Spanish mackerel, you told me. Whatever it is, it's like a herring of some sort. It's a very soft fish to begin with, especially after you salted it, and all you need is a Kli Sheni in order to complete the Bishul process. Now, let's talk about the following. What do we mean Kli Sheni? And what Kli Sheni is also here? So according to the Rashbam, certainly Iri Kli Rishon is also. And even to soak it in a Kli Sheni seems to be also.
According to Rashbam?
You see, what it goes like this. What word do I want to use? We're going to jack it up by one notch. Marketously, you know, it's For the Rashbam, we're gonna prohibit that which we permitted until now. The next stage in the pyramid, and for Rabbeinu Tam, we're gonna prohibit the next stage from where we started in other foodstuffs. So let's talk about this. According to the Rashbam, that in other foodstuffs you're allowed to do iri kli rishon because that's already kli sheni, that's prohibited in these cases. Now instead of having to mention these cases over and over and over again because it's a mouthful, we're going to come up with a pig Latin, so to speak, meaning a shortened term, right? A shortened term, a code word. And that's going to be called Kale Habishal. So you're going to have to write this down. Kale means Kuf Lamed Yud Habishal. And Kale Habishal is a concept that we find in the Poskim, and Bulinetta will try to see it in the Mishnah Berurah, and that's Kale Habishal. Kale means easy. Easy to cook. Something that's easy to cook. The Gemara is going to analyze Beitza from this perspective, because remember we spoke about Beitza, that you could have Gilgul, and that might already constitute cooking, even if it's less than Kamaichel Ben Josoi. That's going to be a discussion. But we know about Kale Habishal, these two cases, basically soft fish that have been salted, and perhaps tea. That's going to be the issue in the poskim, that tea leaves or tea seeds are Kale Habishal. You know, just pour hot water and they cook. So the Mishnah says, again, when I say the Mishnah, I mean, bless you, on Kuf Mem Hey, Hadachasan Hi, I'm sorry, Zu Hi Gmar Malachta. And therefore, whatever you need to accomplish in general, which would mean in other foodstuffs which are not Kali Abishal, require Sharia, but Hadacha is not called Bishal. In the cases of Kali Abishal, Hadach itself is Bishal. Now again, I don't want to confuse you, but everything I said is before the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim says that we're not talking about Bishal at all here. We're talking about a different malach, which is called Makom HaPatur. But let's not confuse ourselves. I'm just saying it so that I don't get confused. but Pashtus, according to Rashi, the Rishonim, we're talking about Bishal. And we're saying that at this point, Hadacha is Mutter. Now what's Hadacha? Hadacha would mean, according to the Rashbam, soaking it in a Kli Sheni, perhaps. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, who says that soaking in a Kli Sheni is asur even for all foods because of Mexican Mevashel, then here the word Hadacha would probably mean even in a Kli Shlishi. So I don't know. We have to work this all out.
Which effectively means he's asuring doing this?
Again, everybody's going to say, whether it's the Rashbam or the Rabbeinu Tam, that we're asking something. We have to just define what that something, that X is.
Wait, we're going to go to a Kli Ravi? I mean, is that...
No. Kli Shlishi is... Okay, I hear your question. Let's start with Iri Kli Sheni. Iri Kli Sheni, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is Mutter in all other foodstuffs. Now, with regard to Kali Abishal, Iri Kli Sheni becomes prohibited.
Right.
But Sharia the Kli Shlishi, in other words, after you poured it out of the Kli Sheni and it went into a third Kli, that becomes Mutter. Whereas according to the Rashbam, Iri Kli Rishon is Mutter in all of the foodstuffs, that becomes Asur. But Sharia the Kli Sheni is Mutter even in Kali Abishal. That's Lechora what it should be. But everything I just told you is, how do we say, with limited liability, meaning we're going to have to really study this. But again, just to get the general picture, you know, before Dr. Joel, we get into specifics, the general framework here is that which is permissible in other foodstuffs becomes prohibited in Kali Abishal. And then we have to ask ourselves, well, what was permissible in other foodstuffs? And then we can answer the question, that which was permissible now becomes also. So that's why I say, according to Rashbam, that which was permissible was Iri Kli Rishon. That becomes prohibited in the case of Kali Abishal. But Pashtus, I would say, again, Bi Ravon Mugbal, I would say that Kli Sheni would be okay, even in Kali Abishal. Whereas a koi jar beni tam, the klisheni is asur, and you're only allowed to pour from a klisheni. In the case of kali abishni, you're not allowed to pour from a klisheni, but you'd be allowed to have shriya in a klisheni. Again, all that is my thought now. Yeah, Dr. Joel, what do you want to say?
When you bring in kali bisho, it sounds like you're going back to the physics of cooking.
Oh, excellent. So for that, I prepared an article for you in my favorite sefer called Hari Kedem. And that's, again, depending upon how we do with the clock, but because I just want to make sure we're up to it. And this is going to be the subject of Hari Kedem. How could it be that klisheni is asur in the case of Kali Abishal? It's not Mavashal. It's not a Malach. Okay. Now, let's just spend a few minutes on the next two words in the Gemara, which closes the sugya shmamina. Okay? Because after all, this entire excursion to the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Hei, which was initiated by our Mora Derech called Mar Berei Deravina, was meant to take us back to understand Rabbi Yosef and his interpretation of our Mishnah that Gilgal Beitza is Chayev Chatos. So Ben, if you have the Masifta, you'll see a footnote number Tesvav, which eventually we'll get around to photocopying maybe, but he quotes the Chassam Sofer. And he says the following. Rashi, if everybody could take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maskil Shehudchu, which is the fourth line from the top, going on to the fifth line from the top, Rashi says, "Midikari le gemar malach shmamino zehu bishulo vechayav."
Where is that?
Five lines down from the top. That's all I can tell you because I don't have a Steinsaltz. Says the Chassam Sofer, "What is this? This is meant to prove something about Beitza. Shochacha mikulyas haspinin." Ha'ispidin, shegam, please underline these words, shegam miktas bishul mechayev kibishul sholem, that even if it's only partially cooked, which means less than kamaychal ben Josiah, it's considered bishul sholem, b'machal sheregilos lech le'ochlo kach, if it's common for people to eat it in this almost raw state, it's just slightly cooked, that makes it into Bishul. So keep in mind, Rabosai, that what we're saying is that the shear of Bishul, the minimum amount that constitutes Bishul, is relative. It's not fixed in stone. It's not engraved in stone. And therefore, if you have a food which can become edible, even in less than Michael Benjo's, so it doesn't have the shear of Bishul, that's called Bishul.
A raw egg would be an example.
Yeah. And that's going to help us with the raw egg, that even though you put the raw egg against the outside of the urn, and it only got to the point of Gilgul, nevertheless that's called edible for most people, or for many people, I don't know, he doesn't say how many people, but regulus, it's quite common for people to eat it in that state, and therefore that's considered bishul. And therefore, the Chassam Sofer quotes a Piskei Arid. I don't know, in the past, I think back in Elul, you remember we learned the Piskei Arid?
Yes.
Do we have, I should ask Tzvi this question. All the pages I gave out back then, is it somewhere filed or?
It's in the red folder.
Red folder.
In our,
so in that red folder, we should have a photocopy of the Piskei Arid.
Wasn't he talking about Bris Mila in that context?
No, well, maybe he touched on Bris Mila, but basically it was about Chofer Guma V'Ein Tzarech El Yafra. So it happens to be that that's the subject that I'm teaching at 11:45, and I'd love to get a copy of that Tosfos read. But don't bother now. Please, I want you to stay with me. So he says the following in the name of the Tosfos read, that Kulius, this kind of mackerel, Ein shriyaso gmar malacha mamish. It doesn't mean that when you soak it in hot water in a klisheni that it really is completely cooked. Ela, but rather shall yidei kain, once you reach that stage, roi lekama b'nei adam, that there are people who will eat this Spanish mackerel in that state. Ulefichach chayim. This is beautiful, according to the Chasam Sofer. The Piskei Arid was 4 centuries or 5 centuries before the Chasam Sofer. So this is a beautiful proof to the Chasam Sofer that the Shmamino here is to say that just like in these fish, when you cook it part way and it's really not cooked, but people eat it in that state. So too, in the case of Gilgal Beitzah, people will eat it. Kama b'nei adam. You know, we're talking about Sylvester Stallone. You know what I'm saying? You know, Rocky.
Right.
You
know, okay. Yeah. The raw eggs before his room.
Yeah. You know, so people eat it. You know, I don't know if you would eat it, but maybe if you were up against Muhammad Ali, you would eat it. I don't know. He says, "Af beitzim megugeles kayotzi bohi shekevan sheyesh bnei adam sheochlin oso kach." People will eat it in that very early stage of cooking. Is therefore chal chiv al dargas bishul zu. Already at this level of bishul, it's considered cooking. Now wait a second. All this works out if you assume that Rav Yosef's chiddush was that something that's less than kamay chaban josoy is still considered bishul. But according to the Ritva says that Rav Yosef's chiddush was that told us ha'or is considered bishul. The Ritva shebir sheibay shel ha shel gilgal, and that was what Rav Yosef was addressing. He al bishul betoldus ar. So what's the shmamino? Pirush es haochacha shemikach she kinsa mishnah docha zu b'shem gmar malacha muchach she chayoven alev midoraisa. That there's a new category of bishul, which is in a klisheni. And it constitutes bishul gomer doraisa, gmar malacha. Gmar malacha means yichayv doraisa. And therefore, when you take something and you smack it up a tolus ha'or, you know, that's the metal pot that was heated by the fire, and the metal pot itself now becomes your source of heat, that is gmar malacha. That's called the maleches bishul doraisa. And basically, according to the Ritva, the analogy here is between klisheni and toldus ha'or. If klisheni is mavashel, then toldus ha'or is likewise mavashel. That's how the Ritva is learning this.
So only for things that could theoretically be cooked, that a number of people would be eating them. Like if you put a slab of...
Again, the Ritva doesn't address that question, David. So let's just formulate your question as a question. The David is asking, according to the Ritva, are we saying that klisheni is always mavashel? That's impossible. We know the klisheni is not mavashel. The exception to the rule is kali abishel. But I don't believe for a moment that the same yardstick would apply to toldus ha'esh.
Why not?
Because toldus ha'esh, if we upgrade it to the status of a malacha doraisa of bishel, that could be mavashal anything. So you'll ask me, why did the Mishnah then, according to the Ritva, introduce Gilgal Beitzah? And I guess the Ritva is going to say that, when was the last time you took food that was raw and smacked it up against the outside of a hot pot and expected anything to happen? What would you gain by that? And the answer is, if you have an egg, you'll gain something. But it's lav dafka an egg. If lu yitzuyu, you could imagine if you heat up a pot. Let me see if I can come up with a case of toldus ha'esh. Let's imagine for I don't know, again, I don't know how to construct this, but let's say you would take metal. And what was the word we used back in El to heat up the metal and molten? What was it to make it into a liquid? What was the term to molten lead? You remember? For the sake of Sveifas Vascoin?
To melt.
Melted. Okay, good. Excellent. I like Harvey's word. Let's say you would melt metal and convert it into a liquid. It's now boiling hot. You could take any food Again, you want to wrap it up in silver foil because otherwise it's going to taste like mercury. You know what I'm saying? But you can take any food and submerge it into this boiling hot, you know, metal, molten metal, you know, melted metal, and it'll cook. It doesn't have to be a beitzah. So maybe I'm giving a bad example. You know, you have to be more creative and come up with better examples. My point is that once we get to the Ritva and the suffolk about Gilgal Beitzah on our Mishnah and the final conclusion of Rav Yosef and Yechayv Chatas is all about Toldos HaEish, then forget about Beitzah. Beitzah is Lavdavka. Any food can theoretically be cooked by Toldos HaEish.
He doesn't need a shear. Like if you've got your steak up against the side and it's only ever going to get 5% cooked and it'll never be edible. But
so then you're not chayv.
You wouldn't be chayv.
That's why beitzah is it's a much better example, right? Because if you smack up an egg against the side of a hot pot, especially if it would be made of earthenware we discussed, then for sure it would get soft boiled. You get yourself a soft boiled egg. I'm not sure how common it is, but there definitely is a distinct possibility of using toldos ha'esh to cook anything. Again, it's going to have to be cooked. It's going to have to be edible. But that's a malach and tov rice. So again, I just have to review this point, and then Ben is. So we're saying the following: there were two schools of thought as to what the original boiler, who the suffolk was, about Gilgal Beitzah, as to whether he's chayv chatas or not. The final conclusion is Rabbi Yosef says he's chayv chatas. One school of thought says that even though it's not cooked to the level of Kemaychel ben Josai, but people eat it that way, and that's called cooking. And to the same extent. If you have this herring or mackerel, people will eat it even though it's barely cooked, and that's called cooking. And you can achieve that goal through a klisheni. That's called kali abishul. The Ritva, on the other hand, is analyzing toldos ha'esh. This case here has nothing to do with toldos ha'esh. It's bishul b'klisheni. However, the Gemara has the analogy that if you could be chayav d'oraisa for gmar bishul in the case of kli sheni, how much more so would you be chayav for bishul d'oraisa in the case of toldos ha'esh? Yeah.
I was just curious because usually we see cases if the majority of people do it, but since when do we like, oh, there's a few people out there that would do it, since when does that set a standard? I'm used to like the majority of people would eat in such a state.
Well, again, let's go back to the drawing board. We have something called Kemaychel ben Josai. When was the last time you ate food that was one third cooked, according to some Rishonim? The last time you robbed a bank. So I don't know, you know, Ben, I don't want to implicate you, but do you follow what I'm saying? How many bank robbers are there out there? But the point is that you don't get sick to your stomach. I mean, otherwise the bandits would die from indigestion. You know, so obviously you can eat it. And the minority represents the standard of edibility. You know, it's edible because there are those who are in a rush, they don't have time, and they'll eat it. You know, today, maybe there'll be other reasons why people eat things that are not fully cooked. You know, maybe it's good for a diet, maybe it's healthy for the body, I don't know what. But you'll come up with some reason why people eat it. Maybe they're boxers in a boxing match, you know, so they need to, you know, chazanim, for example, you know, they say that for a chazan, you know, to make sure his voice is up there, he'll swallow a raw egg. So there are various conditions, but it establishes that it's edible. Okay, now, I have this article for you. We don't have time to go through it. Maybe I'll give it out and you'll look it over today or tomorrow if you like. But I just want to present to you his problem. He says the following. Hine. He says, Mevuar dehocha mayri b'kli sheni. The Kaimalon Klisheni Eno Mavasha. Umikomakom Shiny Maliach Hayoshan Vekulius Hayespinin. The Afilu Hadocha, which again is the Klisheni, Havigmar Malachabahu. The Yeshla Ayin Buzeh. He says, let's look at it twice. Dimipshuto Ola Lefizeh. The anan lo kaimalon ke also klal gadol b'chol makom shehu the klal the klisheni einu mevashel. That's not really true. Ella, but rather b'derech klal cliche the end of a vash as a general rule. Al yesh dvarim shenim is bashlim gam kein b'klisheni v'tzarech biur. And I don't understand it. Habachal Torah kula kaimalon the klalahu. It's an absolute. How should I say? Ironclad rule. The cliche the end of a vash. And he gives the following examples. The Torah says, "Lo savashel gedi b'chalev ima." You're not allowed to cook meat and milk. And he proves that if you take meat and milk and put it together in a klisheni, again on the raisa level, it's not bishul. That's not considered bishul. He gives another example. The Torah says that you're not allowed to cook a korban pesach. Korban pesach has to be eaten tzli, which means roasted and not cooked in water. What happens if he took the basar pesach and he soaked it in a kli sheni? Is eino mevashel? He's not chayev. He gives another example. Let's say you cooked nevela or trefa in a kli sheni. Now you take the kli sheni after it's cleaned of its nevela, right? You rinse it out, and you cook in that kli kosher meat. Normally we say that there's a blia and a plata, means that which was absorbed in the walls of the kli goes back into the food, and here nevela was absorbed into the kli. No, it's mutter. Why? Because it's only considered absorbed into the kli, it's a tam, through bishul, but kli sheni enu mevashel. In a word, we have many, many applications of bishul. And the definition of bishul is it's got to be a kli rishon. Kli sheni enu mevashel, period. Why then are you chayev melacha d'oraisa in a case of Kali Abishal in a cliche? What happened to the principle of cliche the Einam Avash? So what I read to you are the basically summarizing the first two paragraphs. So Rebosa, you decide. I mean, I did the photocopying for you in case you want it, and you decide whether you want to take it, and that would be your work for tomorrow. I mean, when I say extra credit, I'm going to go through this whether you like it or not, because I have to understand this. This is literally boggling my mind. Now, the other piece of homework I want to give you, is the Mishnah Berurah. Two places.
That's my mission.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is yours?
Took the wrong one.
Okay, see, they look very similar. Okay. So the Mishnah Berurah in two places. Number one, we're looking in Shin Yud Ches. Sifkat and Lamed Gimel. Okay. I'll tell you exactly what page it's on. Okay. This should be on page 267. So the bottom Mishnah Berurah is number Lamed Gimel. Do you see it? It's three lines before the end of the page. Lamed Gimel. Everybody see that?
No. Where?
Okay, you're on page 267.
Yes, Lamed. Yes.
And you're going up in the Mishnah Berurah three lines before the end of the page of the Mishnah Berurah.
263.
And you'll see a Lamed Gimel. Mutal Ishroso.
Yes.
Okay, so that's assignment number one. Then number two, you'll see a smaller letter within the Mishnah Berurah. That's the Sha'ar Tzion number Mem Vav. Okay, and that is two lines up before the end of the page itself. You see the Sha'ar Tzion Mem Vav.
Okay. Eliyahu Rabba?
Correct, Eliyahu Rabba. That's number one. Number two is we want to look in the Mishnah Berurah. Just 1 second here. Where did I see it? Okay. Okay. Now we're on page 268. And you'll see the Mechaber, which is on line 2 of your page, says Hadachasam Higmar Malachton, which is a direct quote of our sugya. And you'll notice an asterisk before the word Vadachasam, that tells you to look in the Bir Halacha. Now the Bir Halacha Vadachasam is approximately 20 lines up from the bottom of the page in the Bir Halacha. Approximately. But you'll see it in large print. It says Vahadachasam. It's the first word in the line. Does your eye catch that?
Yeah.
Vahadachasam.
Right.
Now, at some point in this very long presentation, I'll try to pinpoint where, he quotes the Prima Gadim that I mentioned to you before, that we're not talking about Melechas Bishel at all. We're talking about a different Melech entirely, and that's called Makeh B'Patish. So let's see if I can tell you where he quotes the Pri Megadim.
It's the second line.
Second line. Excellent. Second line. V'ra'isi b'Pri Megadim. Now, from that point in the Bir Halacha and on, again, there's 20 lines here, but I don't know exactly how far you can get and how far we will get. So that I can't tell you at this particular moment in time. So again, we're basically on one page here, two sides of a page. We're on page 267 and 268. In 267, we're focused on the Mishnah Berurah and the Shaar HaTzion on the bottom. And in 268, we're focused on the Bir Halacha. But most important of all is the page that I photocopied for you from Hari Ken. All right, then we'll stop here, and I'll wish everyone a great day.
Thank you.
Did you post yesterday?